A woman cursed with a secret too terrible to reveal. Doomed to love only the dead.
Welcome, fellow nerd. You are listening to Region Nerd Alert, but this is a special spooky episode we are doing for a month-long event in October where the topics fit the season. So remember, if you get too terrified, it's just a radio broadcast. Have you ever heard of movies such as The Grudge, The Ring, or Dark Water? Well, that's part of a subgenre of horror movies known as J-horror or Japanese horror. The origins of Japanese horror can be traced to ghost story classics of the Edo period and the Meiji period, which were also known as Kaidan. Elements of several of these popular folktales have been worked into the stories of modern films, especially in the traditional nature of the Japanese ghosts. We here at Region Nerd Alert put our research caps on and delve into what is widely known as J-horror. This is Region Nerd Alert. Paul?
Yes?
So, what were you talking about? Three extremes?
I would say, J-horror anthology. They made,
Is it a J-horror?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's J-horror. I watched it a while ago when I was younger, and it was on VHS, I believe.
Like, nice. On a VHS or
a VHS
on the original scripture?
The original scripture.
The scripture of my people.
On the sacred text?
Yes.
Audio-visual texts?
Unfortunately, I never finished it just because I didn't have enough time to finish watching the last one, but...
Before you grew up.
Yes, before I grew up.
Oh, that's actually cool. It's actually a East Asian collaboration horror film collection. Yeah, it's because they had a Chinese director, a Korean director, and a Japanese director make all the stories. And then,
sick.
Yeah. Well, I hate talking about things that I've never seen before, but hello, everybody. This is Jose Nerd Alert, a.k.a. Joey Nerd Alert, and you are listening to Region Nerd Alert on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM Studios, and my co-host... You just heard was Paul Polkerzelski. How's it going, Paul?
It's going good.
You spooked out? You ready to talk about some scary stuff?
I'm ready to have nightmares tonight.
Nice. Only because I'm going to be there. No, I'm just kidding.
You're always there.
I am. Lexi, you got to put the app.
Oh, yeah, I downloaded this really cool candle app because we were talking about this Japanese tradition where people, they share stories, share ghost stories, and as the stories go on, the candles get dimmer and dimmer until it's super dark.
You want to know what it's called?
What is it called?
I apologize to Japanese listeners out there if I completely butcher this, but apparently that tradition is called Hayakumonogatari. Kaidan Kai. I tried my best. Really tried my best. But yeah, as Paul died, I can't
Paul's
see
transformed.
Them. There's like a screen in my face. I can't see him at all.
Paul went full body horror.
I'm just over here dying.
But yeah, thank you for coming in today, Paul.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, no problem. I'm so glad you came because this is a very exciting subject. I'm excited. It's almost October. When the listeners at home or wherever they are listening, it's going to be October, unless they listen after October. So whenever you're listening.
It's still October in spirit.
In spirit, yes. And then that last voice you just heard, that's not mine, was Mr. Olatho, a.k.a. Skyler. AKA
also known as Fat Low End.
Fat Low End, yes. How are you? How are you, too?
Oh, yeah, I'm great.
You feeling in the spirit?
I'm waiting for the season to begin. I mean, it's kind of begun. I'm waiting for it to take full effect.
Me too. The falling of leaves.
Oh.
The Halloween music.
The falling
in the air.
Of temperature. Leaves. My right. Soul.
Did you decorate yet?
No, not yet.
Me neither.
I've never undecorated from.
It's just 24/7 Halloween.
Every day is Halloween.
All right. And then that last voice you just heard that was mine was Lexi.
Hey, guys.
I don't know how you feel about your last name being thrown out there.
No, but. I always accidentally put my last name out there. Just I don't
forget
know
the social.
Is. Yeah, right, okay. My social security number is my address. No, just kidding. But, yeah, happy spooky season, guys.
I'm excited. Do you like the spooky season?
I love the spooky season. I've been freaking out my student. My students already think I'm a witch, so that's pretty funny.
Students as in you're a teacher?
Yes, as in I'm a teacher. I'm an English teacher. And I, like, keep essential oils in my room, and there's a constant mist of lavender going on, and I never turn on the lights. And one of the first weeks of school, I was giving them a seating chart, so I told them to line up in the back, and I got really sick and tired of them going, "Oh, you're lining us up because we're getting a seating chart." So finally I was like, "No, we're sacrificing the last person in the door." So pretty sure that they think that...
Did anyone come the next day?
Well, they were all on time that day. So.
Oh, there, it worked then.
It so worked. It worked.
So today we have a very nice person here that makes music, maybe some little bit of scary, creepy music, awesome, trippy music. We have an English teacher here, and we have Paul Grzelski here, who stepped out for a little bit just to go to the bathroom, but he will be right back. Are you guys ready? Because I am ready.
Oh, I'm ready to talk.
Now, for listeners at home, we actually prepped before this podcast.
We have information that
episode
was
10.
Outside of 5 minutes before this.
Episode 10, we finally prepped before the podcast.
Wow.
No, but
research was had.
Research was had. We seen a few movies. I bought a book.
You bought,
I bought
so
a book.
It was more of a manga.
Yeah, a manga. There's words. There's words that you
pictures.
Read in it. A lot of pictures. Very much pictures.
Very good pictures.
Very great pictures.
Very good pictures.
Junji Ito. Very, very great manga artist.
A name that should be a household name.
It should be a household name in horror in general. It's becoming one. If you're a fan of anime, Junji Ito has an anime series out now. It basically adapts all of his stories into sort of an anthology anime series, and very creepy. I really like the artwork of the anime itself.
Long Dreams, like, has stuck with me for so long. Like,
I literally
no
got goosebumps when I remembered what that story was.
That story is so deathly creepy.
Oh, and it's so weird. Like, you think you heard it all, like, all the stuff... All the horror movies you've seen, all the scary stories you were read, like, in America. Mm-hmm. But you need to look up some Junji
Ito. Let me give you the small premise of Long Dreams to, like, put it in a nutshell.
Yeah,
because
that
the only
in
one
show.
You've told me about is Grease.
This,
and that
oh,
one sounded absolutely
That's my least favorite because
that one's nasty.
Made me gag.
It's really nasty. So Long Dreams is about this guy that's been hospitalized, and his condition is that every time he goes to sleep, his dreams last longer and longer.
Oh, no.
So his latest dream, he lived for a full year and then woke up and was now again like a year in the past because he lived a full year before he woke up from his dream. And every time he kept falling asleep, his dreams would get longer. He's like, "Doc, you don't understand." And he's like losing hair at this point and going full insane. He's like, "I raised a family in my dream.
I grew old. And he was afraid to
and lost friends. And then he woke up and was in the hospital again.
Oh my gosh.
And years younger.
And he was so afraid to go back asleep. And then when he finally did go back asleep, I think he didn't he wake up one more time? He was like, "I've lived 1,000 years.
Yeah.
I've seen."
That's when
future.
He was full.
And his body would like deform.
Oh my gosh.
And it would, his head would get bigger.
Like an Easter Island head, basically. Like he was mega head.
And he lived like for thousands of years. And he woke up in the hospital. And everyone else, it's just the next day. But to him, he's lived
lifetimes.
This lifetime.
That's
and the
horrible,
the
actually.
Thing they talked about too, he's, I think the doctor, he was trying to figure out what was going on, and he's like, "Is this just death? Is it just one long dream?" Because this man just lived more than 10 generations of lifetimes in a single dream.
And he was radically changing before their eyes. Mm-hmm. Like every time they see him, he was more distraught and aged and withered. And
the spoiler to the story, but he eventually went to sleep again, and then he just withered away to dust. But I don't know if you heard that little music there, but that's another J-horror video games. There's been J-horror.
Probably my favorite type of J-horror.
There's been J-horror in video games, literature, anime, movies. It has been creeping and encompassing our culture silently. If you've ever seen movies like The Ring, The Grudge,
yes,
One Missed Call, Dark Waters, they were all originally J-horror films. And we actually seen all those, didn't we? Except The Ring, but...
Well, yeah, we didn't watch The Ring. Seen The Ring before, though.
Yeah, I've seen like
The American Ring, yeah. But it was like many years.
I actually love that movie.
I actually love it too. They
did a good job
for a PG-13 horror film. They did it right.
That's
they did a PG-13 horror movie correctly.
They did. I will admit that.
I will say though, Ju-on, which is the one that I watched with you guys, I really liked it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I did too. That was The Grudge, right?
The Grudge. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I didn't expect it to be like from different perspectives of people,
right?
Because I've seen the American one, which was was it Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer chick.
What's her name? Sarah Michelle Gellar. Bam! Before I even looked at it, oh, this is the Japanese guess.
Who was in The Ring?
I don't know.
I don't even remember.
What's her name? I want to say a Kate. It was Sarah Michelle Gellar. There we go.
Oh, nice.
And for The Ring, that's going to bother me. It just followed her, and, like, they did have, like, the weird things happen, and you showed, like, a split second of it.
But it was all one timeline
Her perspective. Naomi Watts, that's what it was.
Naomi Watts, that's
Yeah, I love her, too. But, yeah, those movies were originally J-horror. And going back to Junji Ito, a big reason why I wanted to do this podcast, not only was... one of my favorite subjects, J-horror in general. But also, Junji Ito is having a new animation that's coming out soon. I'm not sure if it's going to be a show, but it's really his big step, I think, into American culture, American media in general, other than the internet. Because I think his anime premiered on Adult Swim. Right?
Did it? The Junji Ito collection?
I believe so. And but adults.
It's been so long since I watched Adult Swim, even I'm not sure.
But
well, since
there's a good chance, though. I mean, like Funimation puts out a lot of things on.
I think so. Yeah, it could
Adult
be.
Swim anyway.
But also, they're actually making their own Junji Ito animation, which is Uzumaki. And
is this going to be like a kind of like how it was like a TV series? Is it going to be kind of like a long, drawn-out, limited TV series thing?
I think so. Like, I actually, that's the book I picked up was Uzumaki for the trailer that they released. But yeah, seems like an anthology about this town. And the main, I guess, the main central theme are spirals. Every story has something to do with spirals, whether it's people's bodies contorting into spirals. Well, that's horror in itself, but smoke in the sky, spirals, lighthouses. Like, it's very, very interesting. And
hence the name Uzumaki.
Yes.
Which means spiral.
Japanese for spiral. Thank you, Paul.
Which is why Naruto Uzumaki, he has the spiral on his stomach.
Oh, full circle. Full spiral.
Full spiral. Okay.
Skylar's grunting at me and groaning at me
now.
I appreciate
a good pun.
Very informative, actually.
I didn't put the two together
that Uzumaki meant spiral. You are a treasure trove of information, Paul.
Treasure trove. But I know the listeners at home can't see the the video, like the teaser that came out, but I just want to play you the trailer because the music is actually by someone.
Oh, they set the mood. Like, you don't even have to see it.
You can feel
what it's about.
They say it in the trailer. When we come out of this, I will let you guys know exactly. Oop, that's not him. That's some of Silent Hill stuff. But, that music is Silent Hill. We'll revisit that soon. We have a lot of stuff to do today. But, the Uzumaki teaser, it's actually going to premiere on Toonami soon. How soon? And it's actually going to be partnered Production IG USA with Toonami, and they're going to put this out. So That's pretty awesome.
Very nice. So, I mean, Saturdays then, because yeah. Adult Swim only has Toonami on Saturdays.
It's going to premiere actually in 2020. So we got kind
that's closer than I've. Yeah. When I hear 2020, I'm like, oh.
And it's going to be a 4-episode miniseries.
Nice.
Based on the supernatural horror manga by legendary author Junji Ito. But here it is, the Uzumaki teaser that you cannot see, but it is on YouTube if you would like to see it. Because when you hear it, you're going to be like, ah.
That's actually some kind of unsettling music.
Very.
Extremely unsettling.
Super manic.
Super.
Extremely unsettling.
So that was the teaser for Uzumaki. And Colin Stetson does the music for that. I'm definitely going to be looking up more of him. Or her. That could be her. I don't know. But yeah, that just the music alone, I was kind of getting very unsettled here in the studio.
And to bring it a... Bring it back. That had like real midsummery vibes, the music.
Oh, it did. Definitely
yeah.
did.
Midsummer
yes.
vibes.
Like it wasn't exactly super dissonant, but it was loud and what's the word? Not, I hate to use the word foreign, but I don't know. It's almost, I don't know.
It was like
very
harsh.
Tribal in a sense.
Yeah. There's a word for this in film, but it's when something horrific is going on, but there's light in the background, or sometimes when there's really happy music, but something mm-hmm. horrific is going on, mm-hmm. and somehow, I would say that that music definitely is dissonant, but somehow the dissonance in those chords achieves that effect where you're not sure
an
whether...
An uplifting dissonance.
It's
yeah.
Yes, yeah, and I think that's what's so unsettling about it, because light is supposed to make us feel comforted. Certain sounds are supposed to make us feel comforted. Maybe not if you're Skylar. I reside in the darkness. but those things are supposed to make us feel comforted. So you kind of hear that tone in the background that's it's sort of flute-like, and it's like a piccolo almost. And you're like, mm-hmm. oh, I feel like I should be happy, but wait.
Yeah, it's light. But also dissonant, mm-hmm. and if you were to see, like, the images on the screen...
Oh, gosh.
Like, just to give you some imagery, it showed there's a story in there of a little boy trying to get another girl's attention, like, they're teenagers, and he can't do it, and she's like, oh, you're annoying. So he's like, oh, I know what'll get your attention, and he jumps in front of a car. And he draws so vividly him stuck underneath the wheel... And they showed that. That was mm-hmm. one of the pictures in there. And with that music, it's like, oh, what's going on? It's almost like you want to get away.
Sensory overload.
Yeah,
you want to get away. You want to cover your ears, but you're enduring it because it's beautiful.
It's like, really pretty. And I've
very pretty.
That's what's so strange about his art is because we're talking about contorted bodies, which everything in you should want to... not see something like that, but the way that he draws it is so intricate that you're like, oh.
It's like when people, like, legitimate people in real life, like bone crushing, like the dancing.
Bone crushing.
You ever seen bone crunching? Mm-mm. Look up, or crushing, bone crushing. It's like a dance, and they're just like double jointed people.
Yes.
And it's really nasty looking dance moves where the body's moving in a way it should not.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen something like that.
I do not like watching it. because it
don't they use like poles and stuff sometimes?
Sometimes
too?
Like, I saw it at a circus once.
Not a fan of contortionists.
No,
not really.
In fact, speaking of contortionists, you just kind of brought it back. Okay, so Ju-on. Oh,
The Grudge.
My gosh. So The Grudge. I was I'm very strange because I love horror films, but I also like scream and jump and hide.
I was the same.
You show your love for horror films in a very odd way.
Can confirm.
Well, after I'm done after I'm done freaking out, I'm always like, that was so deep. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever.
That was like Lady in the Water when I was a young boy.
Yes.
When I was a young boy. Me and Skylar and some other people went to see Lady in the Water. And I was in my seat. I was all the way inside because I'm a scaredy cat. And I was like, okay, nothing's happening right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking over 3, 4, 5 people. I'm like, I got to go to the bathroom. And this doesn't end in me going to the bathroom at a time where I don't. But, yeah, this wolf. I don't know if you've seen Lady in the Water or remember it. Or I don't think I remember or care for it. But anyways, a wolf.
Bust
through a window. And when it happens, everyone like jumped a little, but they were still smiling. I jumped from like 5 chairs.
Swan dove back
into my chair where I felt safe. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's truly awful.
And the shrill. It was so good.
So
but, speaking of another time, I'm going to mention it because it relates. Because it was a J-horror. Another time where I was completely terrified, Mike Olson. Oops. Oops, sorry,
is.
Mike. I said your last name.
What, episode 10?
Episode 10, yeah.
Revenge of the Sith.
It's over.
But, yeah. So I was at Mike's house, and there was a game called Silent Hills. It's made by the creator of Silent Hill, and it was completely new because Silent Hills was supposed to be the scariest thing, like, ever. It first person, put you in this house. It puts you in a psychological horror, like, you were first person psychological horror.
Yeah, I hate that game. It terrifies me.
I had headphones in. I had a controller. And the way they did this scare, I would never forget it. The girl pops out. She comes at you. I close my eyes, scream. And I'm like, that was scary. And then I move forward, boom, in for the kill, final scare, throw the controller. I'm like, no. Because in my brain, super fast, I was like, this controller
is the only thing
tethering me to this video game world, and I need to release it as far away as possible.
I remember Mike telling me about it.
Yeah, he's probably pretty mad about that.
Yeah, he's like, he almost broke my TV.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But still, speaking of Junji Ito, we were talking about the anime and how I still think the anime does it a lot of justice as well. Like the artwork, like, is reminiscent of him. Even like the faces, like, do such a good job at like recreating that.
Like the one with the scary supermodel.
Oh, that
is a terrifying image to look at.
Demon
the actress
woman.
Chick? Yeah.
Super terrifying.
It's so terrifying and unsettling. Like, even though it's literally a cartoon anime, like, it's creepy to behold.
Cartoons sometimes are scarier than actual live action because it's almost like that uncanny valley thing where you're like...
Well, I mean, correct. You can achieve things in anime and cartoons that you can't achieve in reality.
Right.
But it's just, oh, man.
Yeah, it's it puts you... It creates such a great mood where, I don't know, I feel like if it were regular, like, cartoons, like, there are cartoons and other anime that do it well, like horror anime. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Sujuki or something, the one about the basically the pseudo-vampire one. There's, like, this virus. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, there's other ones that do it. But the way this anime, like, it does it, like, really well, like, capturing moments and... Like the scene, it's called Song from Beyond the Grave. It was one of the episodes where as soon as someone listened to this song on this record, they went crazy. Like they needed to have it and listen to it.
They needed to possess it and listen to it like constantly.
And they were literally killing each other over it.
For the record,
it was so unsettling. But
for the record?
For the record, not on the record.
Yeah, so every time they heard the song, they would go crazy, and they're like, I need the physical copy. I need to hear this constantly. And they would chase each other.
Yeah, because it was something like so rare, like, oh, this like super disturbed musician only recorded one version of this, and like this is the only really real existing original copy.
Because there was a murder behind it, too, I think. I think she like killed everyone.
Or like suicides or something where people that owned it would like eventually go crazy,
right?
Because they would listen to it over and over again, and it would drive them mad.
Sounds like he's touching on like something that is definitely occurs in real life, which is like people's mania after an artist kills themselves. Like I was told one time that Nirvana like would not have been that big of a deal if Kurt Cobain hadn't died so tragically. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that about a lot of different bands and a lot of different
artists.
Most
recent, the Triple X and NCON.
Yes, he wasn't even a thing until, the only thing I knew about the guy was his criminal record. And then
he did also record a song with Marshmallow, too.
Who?
Marshmallow is a EDM artist that does a lot of like collaborations. Like they did one with A Day to Remember most recently.
Oh, dope. I'll have to take a listen to that.
Well, that's one tragic thing about art altogether, though, is most of the time you're not realized until you're long gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know that song that made people kill themselves and kill other people? We have that right here on Region Nerd.
We're going to listen to it live.
But at the other end of this, we'll talk about it a little more. I won't play the whole 2 minutes of it. But in the episode, he basically plays the album. And as he's playing the album, he realizes, actually, the girl wants to hear it, but she doesn't have a record player. So she goes to, like, this restaurant, and he's like, please put this in. I need to listen to it. And he's like, yeah, fine. I have a record player. So this is them listening to it in the restaurant. And it shows you through pictures and a montage of, them listening to it in the restaurant and being in a trance, but also what happens on the other side of the recording studio. So it doesn't necessarily tell you the story, but it shows you the very horrific, gory. Yeah. So we're going to listen to a little bit of it right here.
Some pretty stuff there.
I don't know. Sis can sing.
Oh yeah. beautiful voice. But
very chilling notes.
That's another example of that juxtaposition of the light and dark. Like it's beautiful, like aria, and yet people are doing these horrific things over it. But anyways, yeah. So that's Junji Ito. Very excited about Uzumaki coming out. And for people who, are interested or are listening, you're listening to Region Nerd Alert, 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. And I have my great guest who I hope I introduced. Yeah, I went around the horn. I think we're going to explain a little bit. We're talking about J-horror on this podcast. And for those of you who are still at home being... I don't know, not listening, but not knowing exactly what J-horror encompasses, it's mostly psychological, mostly supernatural. Now, there are some cases, like Audition. Audition was a different...
Oh, man.
That touches on the psychological, though.
Yeah, very psychological. As for supernatural...
There were a few things that were supernatural because
it's like dreamlike, wasn't it?
Very, very dreamy, where like you almost didn't know exactly at what point you were at. Like, so there's a point where the main character kind of gets drugged in a way, and as he falls, and like the moment he hits the ground, he transitions, and he's somewhere else, like awake. and doing things. And then he gets to these scenes where he's seeing this woman who he wants to be his wife, and she's in her adult form, and then the camera kind of changes scenes, and she's back to being like the 12-year-old or whatever, her adolescent self, mm-hmm. her abused young version,
mm-hmm.
and like, but it cuts in between her being adult and her being that young abused child, and it's all, he's seeing all of it, so like it's really weird. There's a lot of supernatural things that are happening, but it's not like, oh, I'm being affected by a ghost or whatever. I'm not being possessed. Like, he's just, he's seeing two planes almost.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting.
And I really need to watch that movie a few more times because there's a lot of things going on. The color changing.
I was mad falling asleep.
Like, and falling asleep tired, not bored.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
it was a great movie. Tired. It was just really late when we watched it.
I can't
it.
Watch movies late at night. I'm a baby.
I have to watch it for the first time. I was too terrified to watch it because for me, this movie has always been built up in my head. When I was in college and, you know, when you study English, they do a lot of talking about different genres of movies and different theories that are involved with them. So when I was taking my class on theories and talking about different social ones, when we talked about feminism, they mentioned Audition because there's a female villain, but she's not, I mean, there are moments, from what I understand, where she doesn't seem so villainous, where you almost take like a...
And it does set up the feminism.
Pity. Yeah,
it kind of sets up the feminism argument too, because the main character can kind of be seen as a misogynist.
Oh, right. No, for sure,
100% misogynist. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know the plot, ordering her.
No, it's like, he literally sets up a fake audition, and he has so all these girls with his quote unquote requirements for being his next
to be the
wife,
lead actress,
because his wife died and you know he wants to remarry. So the whole movie is he makes this audition with his director friend, and they're just looking at these women and talking to him, asking these very personal questions for a movie that never really
that never happened. But the main character comes from a pretty jacked up background, from what I understand, though.
Which main character? The woman?
The guy?
The woman.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he also kind of finds her because she writes, like, she's the only person whose bio he reads.
Mm.
Everyone else in the audition, his friend is asking all the questions, and when she comes out, he, like, is so winded because he's asking her all these questions about her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the only one that he actually knows anything about. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't care about anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But he also kind of finds her troubled background cute, it seems. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, her story is one that's, like, tragic, but it's beautiful, too. And
I think because there was a scene where they were in the restaurant, and he sort of... like, so how's your family? And she's like, pretty normal. I'm not close to my parents, but it's not like I don't talk to them. And then it came back to that exact scene, and it was a completely different answer. She's like,
you need to know about my whole life.
I was abused. Now, I don't know if the first time that's what he heard, and he was like, oh, okay, whatever. And he was just like going over it and not really caring, or if she actually said the second stuff about all her horrific, like, being abused at that restaurant. And
right, which is that another reason we need to rewatch it.
Yeah,
right.
There's so many things. Because the first time, I remember when she was talking about it, the restaurant was
full of people.
It was empty. Remember, as soon as he started talking about it, there was people in there.
And then everyone disappeared.
And then it cut to that other restaurant. And that was like, well, that was weird. So that made me think it didn't actually happen that way.
I kept thinking the same thing because all the scenes, like, they would be in a conversation and then the camera would just, like, pan a little bit. And then it would be the same conversation, completely different restaurant, mm-hmm. completely different atmosphere. Like, it was
I'm thinking the second time, that's what actually happened.
What she actually said and he interpreted.
Right.
But that's, again, though, that's commenting on something that's a real thing. Like, no joke, I've heard people be like, oh, yeah, she's really messed up. It's kind of adorable. Yep. And I'm like, what? You
know? This movie is like all about that.
Yeah, and there's also so many red flags for him. Like, oh, none of her references are checking out. Like, no one's answering their phone.
Oh,
like, for any of her references. Like, these people don't exist. And he's just like, she's still really nice. I'm really interested.
Oh, I need to watch this now.
So it's such a good movie.
Mm-hmm. And I love the pacing. Like, it's a slower pace compared to, like, regular horror films.
Right.
Because really jacked up stuff don't happen until the end.
And,
I don't know why that came out.
Not only that, but, like, that one really creepy scene where just the movie's going on. It's all normal and stuff. And then, like, it harshly cuts to her in her apartment. Just neck bent sideways, staring at the phone, and it's
waiting for
so
her.
Unsettling.
Bet you $5, I'm going to make excuses for her. I always make excuses for the villains.
Devil's advocate
over here. Huh? Devil's advocate.
Always. I was like, yeah, but she had a really troubled past. And like, if a guy was treating me like that, I'd stab him with needles too.
No, it's psychosis. So, like, basically, I think, like, the main thing is that, like, she wants him to love only her. And so in his mind, he's like, oh, don't love another woman. I can love only you. But she's not talking about women. She's talking about don't love anybody.
Not your dog,
not your
son.
Not your wife, not your son.
Oh.
You can love no one but me. And he again, misinterprets everything.
Mm-hmm.
He sees it through his eyes the way he wants to see it.
And he's seeing it from the perspective of, oh, she's a cute girl. She's just a girl. What can she possibly do for me?
Mm-hmm.
Or do to me?
A younger girl, too.
A younger girl. Okay, I see exactly
what
you're
saying. But no one's expecting to be murdered by somebody.
Right.
No,
it
no
does
expecting...
take it to the extreme, but the imagery is definitely
like,
there.
Don't give sympathy for her.
Sort
she's
like
still a murderer.
Sort of like,
yes, I realize. But I mean, it's...
Like Midsommar. Like, there was... We picked that apart in another podcast, which you should watch on NPR
One.
Yeah,
definitely watch that one. Episode 8.
Also, Region Nerd Alert. You're listening to it right now.
And that's Joey Nerd Alert.
And this is Joey Nerd Alert, a.k.a. Jose Nerd Alert, a.k.a. that dude you don't want to mess with. No, but... but
don't have
he
me.
Will not stab you with needles.
I will not. But I may welcome it. No, but... you can listen to the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, NPR One.
Like SoundCloud.
Not SoundCloud.
Oh, not anymore?
Oh, that was the first three episodes.
Oh, well, never mind.
I'll edit that part.
Scratch the sound.
No, I'm just kidding. No, but so you can listen to a lot of places now.
A lot of places.
Or you can hear it live, where you're probably hearing it now on a Saturday in October. Because now every Saturday is going to be Joey Nerd Alert, a.k.a. All right. Jose.
We got the hot seat.
The hot seat. I'm the boss.
You better... You're the boss. You better get him.
But, every Saturday at 7 p.m., I believe. If not, I'll just edit that part out. But,
every Saturday at 8:30 p.m.
Just put a little flag
super
right
voiceover.
Do the little, the Japanese voice that you did earlier when you were trying to pronounce.
Oh, please don't.
Yeah, I won't do that right now.
Yeah, I don't want to see Paul transform again.
So we're talking about Japanese horror. And as you heard from the very much intro, very much far away intro,
the
beginning intro, I'll repeat it for people just tuning in. Basically, the origins of Japanese horror can be traced to ghost stories from the Edo period and the Meiji period of Japanese history. And they were actually known as Kaidan, which I believe Kai is like supernatural horror and Don meaning narrated story. Mm. So that's how that word came about. And elements of several of the folk tales have worked into the stories of modern films, especially traditional nature of the Japanese ghost, which in Japanese is yurei, and which is basically like a Japanese ghost or poltergeist. So while many of them contain themes of folk religion, such as possession, exorcism, shamanism, precognition, and ghost, yurei, yokai, that's a different ghost. There's also a lot of psychological horror, tension building, like suspense, and supernatural horror, which involving ghosts and poltergeists and stuff. But yeah, so I think we should dedicate the next part to telling these ghost stories, which were made famous by people's, like, you know, back in the day, like 1603 through 1868 during the Edo period, the golden age of Yurei, if you will. I wrote that down, so that's not me straight off the dome. But it's they called it Haya Kumono Gatari Kaidanke. All
right.
Paul's dying. But we're going to read a couple stories. I'm going to play some suspenseful music from Silent Hill, which is a J-horror video game. Really also acts upon the psychological horror and suspense. Very supernatural. So I thought it was fitting for as we tell ghost stories. Now, would anybody like to start?
I'll take a stab at it.
All right. So, Alex.
Ha ha, a stab at it. Because we're talking about horror. Okay. All right.
Do you have it up or should we?
It's all set.
All right. So, Lexi, take it away. Tell us a scary story.
Long ago, in the town of Aizuwakamatsu, modern-day Fukushima Prefecture, lived a man named Iyo with his wife. One night, the yurei of a woman appeared in their house. At first, the dead woman, who was completely unknown to Iyo, appeared outside the garden. She knocked on the closed door and called out the name of Iyo's wife, who was sleeping beside him. Now, Iyo's wife was a no-nonsense type of woman. When she heard the yurei calling her name, she shouted back, "Who the are you and what do you want?" The text does literally say that. There was no answer other than the yurei again calling her name. Being prepared for such a thing, Io's wife reached into a special box she kept near the futon and withdrew an ofuda. The ofuda was a strip of paper prepared by a local monk with a charm of exorcism against ghosts. Io's wife hurled the ofuda at the yurei, who disappeared like smoke blown away from a fan. However, this yurei was not finished with Iyo and his wife. The next night she appeared in the kitchen, coming out of the fires of the burning stove. After that, she was in the garden again, walking the perimeter and pounding a bell with a wooden mallet. This went on for 4 days. The wife knew when she was outmatched, and went to the local shrine to enlist the help of the kami and the Buddhist spirits to protect their house. She reverently prayed to anyone who would listen, and as a result, their house was quiet for the night. The yurei did not appear. It was the 8th day since the haunting began. Apparently, the protection of Io's wife was good for one night only. This time, the woman's yurei appeared directly in their bedroom, hovering over them near their pillows. Slowly, she made her way to the foot of the bed where she began to caress Io's wife's feet with her cold, dead hands. That was enough for Iyo and his wife, who promptly moved out of the house. The ghostly woman remained a mystery. No one in the Iyo household had ever seen her before, or knew what she wanted, or why she had appeared.
I got no snare.
Scary stuff, scary stuff. So, did that have to do with the adultery at all? I didn't really...
So, there's some writer's notes at the bottom that say that it's possible that Iyo was pretending as though he didn't know her, but this may have been the ghost of one of his mistresses who was taunting his wife. And so, he continued to keep the lie up even after this woman's death.
That's very interesting. Very interesting. Great job, Lexi.
Thank you.
Great job. So, that's one scary story as the candle lights flicker in the studio. For my boss, I don't actually have candles in the studio. But, anyone would like to go next?
You want to hit your short one, Paul?
Yeah, Paul's got a super nice short. Sweet super one. Short, cute, and nice like Paul.
I'll hit the short one, and I found another one that I'll read later on.
Ooh, okay.
Let me clear my throat.
What was that? I was looking for the spittoon.
I'm over here dying.
let me switch up the ones and twos a little bit. Hold on. All right, there you go, Paul.
Thank you.
You may start.
So mine is Hidaru Gami, The Hunger Gods.
Mm.
All right. If you're walking through a mountain trail and you find yourself overcome with a sudden hunger, a soul-killing hunger that drives you to your knees like true starvation, you might need to do more than reach into your backpack for an energy bar. You might be under attack by the Hidaru Gami, The Hunger Gods.
Ooh, that was... that was creepy. I love the sort of annoyed... the... Hi, Dad. The pronunciation.
It's just like...
You thought you were in the clear.
I thought it was. I'm like, oh, I got to read the word again.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, man. That killed me. But great job, Paul. Great job. So I know there's a bunch of texts explaining it, but this is basically the Hunger Gods just... Is it the Hunger Gods or Hunger Ghost?
Gods.
So there are... I think they're basically, in Japanese folklore... just people who died of starvation.
Yeah, on a mountain
and
trails.
On a mountain trails.
And
so
they have no like burial or anything.
Also,
really got to get those people some Cliff Bars.
Cliff, maybe it's not a Cliff Bar they need. Maybe it's
some milk.
Maybe it's some milk. But yeah, that was great. I had something. I forgot what I was gonna say. But Skylar, would you like to read the next one?
Yeah, let me hit this real quick.
What was yours again, if you remind me?
Gatagata Bashi.
Oh, the rattling
bridge. The
road,
rattling bridge.
The rattling bridge. Okay, hold on. Let me switch up the ones and twos again. Hold on. I don't like that one. Ad? Are you kidding me? Sorry, it looks like...
I gotta do it a cappella.
That funding. If you want to donate to the station, please, lakeshorepublicradio.org. 89.1.
89.1
FM. But you don't have to type that in online. But, all right, here we go.
In the village of Osaka, in the province of Hida, modern-day Gifu Prefecture, there lived a man named Kane Inman. In front of his house was an old wooden suspension bridge that led across a mountain valley to the neighboring village. One night, while Kane Eman was in his house, he heard the distinct rattling sound of someone crossing the bridge, accompanied by whispering voices. Making the crossing was far too dangerous at night. Excuse me, I can't read. So Kane Eman rushed out of his house to warn the travelers, whoever they might be. He saw nothing. This continued night after night, always the rattling of the bridge and the whispering. On some nights, he even heard cries of sorrow and people weeping. Unsure of what to do, Kane Eman consulted a fortune teller who told him that what he was hearing was a parade of the dead on their way to Tachiyama, modern-day Toyama Prefecture. It was known that there were several entrances to hell located in Tachiyama, and that the Mojia, dead people, must have recently discovered his bridge as an expedient path? I can't read. Hearing that, Kane Eman resolved to move his entire household as far away from the bridge as possible and also arranged to have a memorial service held at the bridge, praying to ease the sentence of those poor spirits cast into hell. He had a permanent memorial posted at the bridge, and from that time, no strange sounds were heard. However, the bridge is still known to this day by the name of Gatagatabashi, meaning the rattling bridge.
Ooh, that's kind of a nice story. Has a real happy ending to it.
For real, helping out the dead.
Yeah, helping out the dead.
What a good man.
And that's another thing I read, too, about Japanese culture as a whole. during the Meiji and Edo periods, they were really confined on that island, like Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And that confinement led to a very firm grip on tradition, even like as up until like the Europeans came, like, and technology boomed there, they still had that firm grip on tradition, which is why you would go to Tokyo and you see like pagodas and shrines everywhere, because it's still hand in hand. They are true to their ancient ancestors, mm-hmm. which I wish we were in this country.
Yeah, we like to tear old things down.
Yeah, but yeah, that was a nice story. I'll give. So I think I will round it out by telling my story. Oof, I need to get my Japanese pronunciation up. So this one's called Manikuti no Yurei, which is the inviting ghost hand. Again, not mocking. So, okay. So this is called the ghost hand. Yeah, let me find some little... Oh, yeah. This is it. All right. Late at night, when you have to get up to go to the bathroom, a mysterious hand beckons you from a wall. That's strange enough. But when you go into the room, the hand was inviting you to. No one is there. Most likely, you have encountered the yurei of someone who died in that room long ago. They want something, but have only the strength to manifest a single hand to plead with you. Now, these kinds of stories are typical in Japan, especially in yurei and houses, because in Japan, they say that Japan is like really haunted based on the stories and whatnot. And generally, they want nothing more than for someone to acknowledge their presence and read a sutra in their honor at the local temple, just like Skylar's story with the memorial for the Rattling Bridge. And Mankute no Yurei tend to gather around houses near temples, or the particularly pious, those who they feel will be able to perform the desired ceremony. They're spooky, but amongst the least dangerous of the types of yurei. So that was probably the types at the bridge as well. The those types. And yeah, it's actually this one's an Edo period story. So yep, that was the hand. I did not mean for it to change like that. That was really scary. Nice. But thank you guys for joining me on this epic quest through J-horror.
This has been a great episode to start the spoop season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I really hope we have some more spoops coming on.
Oh,
it's
they never stop.
It's pre-spoop right now.
Yeah, so.
Oh, yeah, it's not even real spooky season yet.
Oh, yeah, not real. Or not really spooky season, just quite yet. But when you're listening to this, this will be the first October episode. And depending on how I feel, I may have three more for the other Saturdays at 7 p.m. on Region Nerd Alert for the spooky season. So everybody out there, thanks for listening. And
stay ghoul.
No, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I really like that one, actually.
Thanks.
I don't care what these two say.
Paul always appreciates a
you'll
good
never
pun.
Hear a moan out of Paul. There's
got
no
gold
groans.
Star in my book.
Gold star in my book.
That deserves a sticker.
Also, you can listen to Region Nerd Alert on the go via NPR One, Spotify, which is my preferred listening, Google. What is that called? Google Play?
Google Play, I think.
Yeah, Google Play. Right. And iTunes as well. Also, you can look on the lakeshorepublicradio.org website. Go under Programs. Go under Region Nerd Alert, and you'll see all the other episodes. I believe this is episode 10. So thank you for joining me for 10 episodes. If you stuck through it for the other 9 episodes, thank you. I really appreciate it. But on that note, goodbye, and thank you for joining me. And the music for this episode was called Love Me Deadly by Olatho. Follow him on SoundCloud and YouTube. Thanks for listening.